Father in heaven, we honor you this morning. We give all thanks and praise and adoration to you for spending our lives to see the beginning of another week. It's not by our power, not by our mind, but we have been able to survive this past week. Thank you for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for your cares in so many ways. Thank you for bringing us to your house this morning. With your blessings in store for us, we are grateful to you. Thank you for your healing hands upon us. Thank you for making provision for all our needs. Thank you for answers to our prayers. We are grateful and thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for your word that you sent to us at this end of time. We cannot thank you enough, Lord, because you said in your word that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It is this word that you have sent to us that has opened our eyes to see the follies of denomination and organization, Lord, to see the tricks and the deceptions of the devil. And by this, Lord, you have exposed the enemy to us, and you are giving us the grace to escape from his snares, from his traps. We bless your holy name. We have come this morning with diverse needs, and you are more than able, Heavenly Father, as the great Jehovah provider to meet our needs. May you attend to our needs, Lord. The faith that we need, Lord, to contact you, Lord Jesus, because without faith it is impossible to please you. Give us such faith this morning. Give us such faith throughout the services of the day, Lord, that we might be partakers of the blessings and the glory and honor will be yours. Thank you, our Father, as we ask that your blood will stand for us at this time, that there be nothing, Lord, standing between us and you, that be free fellowship to your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Bless you. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Thank you for praying for me in the VG. I think the body needed just a little rest. And the Lord has helped me. God bless you. Revelation chapter 1, we read from verse 16 to 20. And then we go to Revelation chapter 3. We read verses there. Now Revelation chapter 1 from verse 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Chapter 3, we read verse 7 and then verse 13 and verse 14. Chapter verse 7 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, and that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. bless your heart. Please be seated. By the grace of God, we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seas. Still on the identification of the seven church messengers, which Revelation chapter 1 verse 20 told us. The seven churches, they are the seven candles or sticks, as we have it in Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, and the seven stars in the right of the Lord are the seven angels, and the seven angels are the seven messengers, and they are earthly human beings. They are not heavenly angels, and that's why our prophet taught us that not all angels have feathers, have wings. Not all angels have wings. Even not all heavenly angels have wings. Gabriel didn't have wings. He appeared to Brother Abraham. He appeared to Zechariah. He appeared to Daniel. The prophet told us there are specific angels that have wings. If you can remember, in the course of time, in the past, we treated a teaching on the angels. Where we talk about the cherubims, the seraphims, the four living creatures. We talked about those things in the past. I remember that. Praise be to God. So this morning, by the grace of God, and looking at the scripture that we have read, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, talking about the sixth church age and the sixth angel. Of course, the angel to the sixth church age. So we are now in the sixth church age. By the grace of God, using the same criteria that God gave to our prophet, a criteria that were picked from the life of Brother Paul, who God chose to be the standard for the rest of the messengers of the other ages. And so we have been able to identify five of them using the same criteria, and definitely being that our God is infinite, his pattern remains the same and it does not change, we will not expect a different system to be used to identify the sixth church age messenger. It is the same criteria that were used. And so we look at the life of, we look at the sixth age now, which is the Philadelphian church age, as we go to the message. The messenger to this age was without doubt, that is Philadelphian church age, the messenger. The messenger to this age was without doubt John Wesley. Let's not forget that previously the prophet has taught us that he was able to study history of the church written by the most unbiased historians. I think just a reminder to us, because we need to carry all this basic and fundamental information with us as we travel along, so that we don't misunderstand things along the line. The reason things are misunderstood is because we are not able to add 1 + 1 from what has been said previously. If we bear those things in mind, I will carry them along, and then we will be able to, you know, as we continue, you relate them together, it will give you a clearer picture. And that's what God did to our prophet. He read history written by most unbiased historians. And from there, he was able to see the continuity of God in dealing with his servants. His program that he laid out, and that He was able to see a particular pattern that God uses. And that in all the ages, up to the last church age, he said God has stayed with that same pattern.
Praise be to God.
And so the pattern that God gave to Brother Paul to identify the second age messenger up to the fifth church's messenger is the same pattern,
the same criteria used to identify this man called John Wesley.
Out of several, there were nine siblings. John Wesley had nine siblings, thereabout, born by the same father, born by the same mother. But why not the rest of them? Why should it be John Wesley alone? It's because the three criteria that were placed before us, he met them.
Praise be to God.
So the choosing of John Wesley did not have any contribution of Abraham in it. And I want us to understand that. Because we will see that the identification, let me repeat it again, the identification of the church age messenger is part of the mystery to be revealed today. According to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Who they are is not written in the scripture. Their names are not written in the scripture. Are they written there? But we know their name. We know the time they existed. We know the road they played. So that is part of the ministry of William Aaron Graham. To declare to us things that have gone in the past, and that had to be a prophetic ministry. And that is why those who wrote, who going into history and the rest of it, they can't bring it out the way Abraham brought it out. Because he is a prophet. And I'm careful with using the word he is, because he's still a prophet. I'm not using the word he was a prophet, I'm using the word he is a prophet. When Samuel died and Saul had a cause to visit the witch offender, because he wanted Samuel to come out to come and tend in the mind of God, the witch offender, by her evil power, brought Samuel out. Remember, the prophet told us it's because paradise and hell were side by side by that time, and the blood of Jesus hasn't been shed, so the saints of God were kept in paradise. And that was why it was easy for the witch of Endor to have access to them. Brother said, today it is not possible. If a witch will call somebody that is called a saint out of where they are sleeping and brought them up again, the brother said, the person is lost. Because now, the sister I mentioned is up there. You can't, witch does not have access to that place to call that person down. So the people that are there and they say they want to do some. What do you call it now? Some fetish to kind of invoke the spirit of that person to pursue after those who purportedly kill them, which in Yoruba they call Wonfero Riroku. Now, Riroku means they will conjure some spirit, of that person and empower that spirit to identify the person to pursue after the killers. If it's one person or if it's two, in a few days, those people will die after that person. That cannot happen to a Christian. You can't call the spirit of a Christian out anymore. You see, and that is why the doctrine of reincarnation, a man dying here, appearing in another city, is completely out contrary to the scripture. Traditionally, it's believed. Let me just throw it open to you here. Do you believe that a man that dies in Ibadan can go to Ogbomoso and still appear there and be living another life there? Wait here. I'm very sincere with the question I want to ask. We want to help ourselves. Do you believe it? All right. Let me not make it open. If you believe it, just write a question and put it in the box. If you believe it, write a question and put it in the box, then we'll come and treat it. Many people believe it, though, that somebody that dies somewhere, maybe 1 year or 2 years, they will say they saw the spirit of that person. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once
Now, the question I want to ask you, that the person that died and they bury him or her somewhere else in a location, and he leaves that place and goes and live in another place, which body is he living in? Does the person have power to create another mortal body? Or is living in an immortal body, still having that, still going to somewhere else, conducting life activities, marrying, even to the point of marrying, and raising children? Are you following me? Is that possible? Does the person that have the power to bring himself or herself up again to life, to get another mortal body to live? Then power of creation does not reside only in God. That's what it means. It means God does not have exclusive creative power. That's what we are saying. That it's not only God that can create. That's what you are saying.
May God be merciful to us.
May God give us revelation of Malachi 4. Those are denominational trash. Denominational trash. The prophet said, I do not believe in that more doctrine of transmigration of souls. Bring it out. Transmigration of souls.
It's there in the seven churches, though.
Before I close this subject, that's the Samaritan church age.
Hunger. Yeah.
Before I close this subject, I know there is a question in your mind. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of pre-existence. He has said something ahead.
Hello.
Okay. Let me not just jump. Let's go ahead. Come down. What we have just said for. I didn't think of this before, but what we have just set forth will be much easier for us to understand if we believe the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. For there are not three persons in that Godhead, but one. Thus we are not born again by the spirit of life of Jesus Christ, coming in, and then subsequent to that, the Holy Ghost coming in to give us power. If that were true, why are we dishonoring the Father by not giving him a part in our complete salvation? For if salvation is of the law, and there are three laws, then he, Father, must have something to do too. But surely it can be seen that Jesus made this very clear, that it was he and he alone who is God. And it is he and he alone who is coming into the believer. John 14:16 says that the Father will send another comforter. But verse 17 says that he, Jesus, dwelleth with them and should be in them later. In verse 18, he says he will come to them. In verse 23, in speaking to the disciples, he said, we, Father and Son, we come unto him. Thus it is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all coming in at the one time, for it is one person comprising the Godhead. That advent took place at Pentecost. There aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. The trouble is that people don't know the real truth, and they simply believe in Jesus for remission of sins, but never go on to receiving the Spirit. Before I close on this subject, I know there is a question in your mind. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls anymore than I believe in reincarnation. That word Yoruba says is reincarnation and transmigration. He reincarnated, which we call Yabo, Babatunde, Yewande, Baba Wanwa, all such names, to show that the man that had died is back. Identifying. There's nothing wrong in giving a name of a past loved one if you want to keep their memory. Nothing is wrong in doing that. But to have the understanding that is the person that is coming back. No, that's contrary to the scripture.
In fact, if you don't want to be misunderstood, it's best not to use that name. Because the traditional understanding of a typical Yoruba man is that when you say this is Yabo, now, you don't use that. You can give the same name of that person to the other person that had just been born. But not with the understanding that it's that person that came back. After all, most of our son names are the name of our great-grandfathers. Are you with me? Not our names. Well, my own name is my father's direct father's name. Adewumi. That's my father's. In fact, it's his own name. He didn't answer his own father's name. And so we are not answering. He answered his own father's name. We answer his own name. That's the way we are registered. Some people is their own grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather's name that they answer. So that does not mean that great-grandfather is back on you. You get it? So back to this now. So the prophet said, I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the pre-existence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. You know what transmigration of souls is? He said, be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the world of the seed. Speaking of predestination. Now, this will give us an understanding of what we are saying. So there is nobody died and the person had the power. Remember, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. According to John chapter 25, he is the one that we, at his voice, that every death will come up. No person has right to say that he's going to come up by himself. If that happens, people will have resurrected, they will be living some other lives and then we'll see them. Now, if somebody has the power to come back from death to life again, why not show himself or herself to the family? Wouldn't it be a thing of joy for the family? They didn't want to lose the person in the first instance. If the departure of the person brought sorrow and sadness to them, the husband, the children, the wife, and the rest of them, and he now has the power to live again and he's not ready to show himself to the family. Look, the devil is very wicked. Making people to disbelieve the scripture is Satan's deception. He presents himself as the agent of light, yet he's the agent of darkness. He deceives people. He comes as the agent of light. One time, he appeared to one of the messengers in the course of his study. And he came, camouflaging. Like he came wearing golden crown. And then golden slippers. And he appeared to the servant of God where in his study. And that one looked at him. He didn't talk. That one was looking at him and he said, Martins, he said, don't you recognize me? I am your Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and worship me. The prophet said, Martins was looking at him and his mind was going through the scripture. And then his mind struck a point where he said, the saints shall crown him. You see, if the word of God is not dwelling in you, you might not be able to identify the deception of Satan. And that is not by intellectual, because here was a showdown. Here was a supernatural being. Look, if it were the denomination, they will fall down flat, and this supernatural being will give them instructions to go and do this, to go and do this, to go and do this, and will come out and be broadcasting in up and down. That's most of the thing we have in social media. Most of the thing we have in the denomination, this one will say it was the second in command to Satan. This one will say it was a wife to Satan. This one will say it was a secretary to Satan. This one will say it was a third in position to Satan. All of them will come out and be saying, this one will give you a description of heaven. This one will give you another description entirely. This one will post a different profile. And yet, purporting to be giving revelation concerning the same king. If you are going to give description of this place where we are, will it be different? Whether it's a sister or a brother, whether a young boy or something. The difference might be the English we will use. We are going to say that there are two roles. One is dominated by brothers, and the other one is dominated by sisters. And their sisters don't cut their hair. They don't wear hair rings. You know, the brothers don't have, they don't look like Muslims. They don't sack their trousers. The sisters don't cut their hair. They are not using makeup. They don't wear trousers. The place they have this there, they have this there. When they are describing it and you are hearing it, you know this is your church. They said the church is located in Odogunweru across power line. When you enter inside there, to the right there are seats, to the left there are seats there. There's a hall in the middle. You know, they have toilet to this side, they have toilet to this side. And the minister sits on the platform. They have a pulpit, they have three screens. Two serve the congregation, one serves the minister. So you will know that's you. The seat, the color of the seat is red. That of the minister is too red. They have their acoustic to this side and the musicals to the left of the ministers. Describing that. If somebody describes another person comes describing something different, you know that's not my church. That's what's happening. Satan is full of deception. And what the message has come is to expose that deception to us. As part of the prayer, as you were praying, this message has opened the can of worm to let us see the evil that is in this age. The tricks of the devil. The corruption of the denomination.
May the Lord give us grace as we continue. Yeah, that's all right.
So there is no reincarnation. Somebody dies somewhere and he travels to Kaduna and is living there. He has a business and children. When we were young, there was a drama they acted like that, that will make you to believe it. A particular man left his home with his parents and he went to work somewhere else. And then, he died. They bury him, he has the burial ground, and at the end of the day, somewhere else, he appeared in another city. And he went to marry and raise children. And the wife was constantly telling him, let's go and visit your parents. He said, well, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. So finally, when the wife was pestering him and the children were pestering him, he said, okay, if that is what you want, that's all right. And when he got very close to the house, he pointed to his house and he deceived the wife. He wanted to go and see his friend, that they should enter that house and ask of him that he will come and join them. The wife and the children entered there and they said, we are looking for so-so, we are his wife. And the children said, we are his children. The parent collapsed and said, he's been dead for years. The wife said, who? That's what traditional people believe. It is contrary to the scripture. A man has no power to die somewhere and rise again. Only Jesus has that power. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. If people have that power, the great men, the sages, they will have risen up. Many of them don't want to die. And that's what you must understand. They don't want to die. They have tried all means of medicine, all powers. They have consulted the devil to see how they can live again. But God reserved that right to himself. He is the only one that has the monopoly of the power of resurrection. Until he says it's time, nobody comes up. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless our God. So there is no power that can challenge him. When he's ready to bring somebody, when he was to bring Lazarus back from death, they couldn't stop him when it was time. The son of the woman of Nain, when he was doing it, though they didn't agree with him, they could not stop him from bringing the child, the boy back to life. Every dead that he raised in the course of the gospel, in the ages, every dead that was raised, because God wanted them raised. In the ministry of Abraham, everyone that was raised in the ministry, God wanted them raised. And there was nothing anybody could do about it. The people that have been declared dead came back to life. So it's Satan's deception that will make people to believe that. God bless you. Well, we might think that's a digression, but I believe God has need of it. God bless you.
We are
back to our normal sermon. John Wesley. We have not even started reading that, have we?
Okay. Oh, we're talking about John Wesley, that, you know, the criteria that God used to choose the rest is what God used to choose. But Abraham had no contribution to this. There were nine in the family. It was John Wesley. All of them were saved, but John Wesley was the only one that was qualified to be the messenger of the sixth church age. Praise be to God. So the messenger to this age was without doubt John Wesley. John Wesley was born at Epworth, June 17, 1703, and was one of the 19 children, I mean to say, 19 children born to Samuel and Susannah Wesley. His father was a chaplain in the Church of England, but it is more than likely that the religious tone of John's mind was based more upon his mother's exemplary life than upon his father's theology. The life of the mother brought a change to his life, meant so much to him. John was a brilliant scholar. It was while he was at Oxford that he and Charles became part of a group who were spiritually exercised to worship on the basis of experientially living the truth rather than making doctrine their standards. I want us to follow until this time will permit us. They drew up a spiritual guide of works, such as giving to the poor, visiting the sick, and the imprisoned. For these, they were called Methodists, because they were using a method. That's what they were called, Methodists, and other derisive titles. Now, John was sufficiently imbued by his vision of the need of religion for the people of the world that he went to America. It is important that I read this. Georgia, as a missionary amongst the Indians, on his way, there he found that many of the ship's passengers were Moravians. He was deeply impressed by their meekness, peace, and courage in all circumstances. His labors in Georgia, in spite of self-deniers and hard work, was a failure. Just like Matthias. You remember Matthias too? He paid penance, self-abstinence, punished himself to be able to get salvation. But he found out that it was not possible until he was properly guided. So he turned to England crying, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" But in London, he again met the Moravians. It was Peter Bullard who showed him the way of salvation. Yet, he was already preaching. Just like Martin too. You know, in those days, theology was the order of the day then. After the church ages, after the dark ages, it was the desire of the people to study the Bible after Martin came, and then they were doing that. So many of them went into theological, just like we have today too. Many people are theologians who don't even know God. Many of them established churches, go on and hire a pastor, hire a secretary, hire a treasurer, and they are paid. So it's a business enterprise. Many of them have been like that. So back in London, he again met the Moravians. It was Peter Bola who showed him the way of salvation. He was truly born again, much to the dismay and evident anger of his brother, Charles, who could not understand how such a spiritual man as John should say he was not formally right with God. You see, because they were religious. So it's possible for somebody to be seriously religious, quoting the scripture, to be versed in the Bible. But the difference is that the person will not be able to live the biblical life because the Holy Spirit is not there. And I want to tell you also that the teaching and the preaching of that person will not run from Genesis to Revelation. It will jump somewhere. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to keep you in the pages of the world. They will not have the true revelation of the world. That was why they came up with forms and, you know, the rest of it. Alright? So, to the dismay of John, of Charles, who could not understand how such a spiritual man as John should say he was not formally right with God. It was, however, not long after that, Charles too,
was saved by grace. Amen. We're talking about John Wesley, being the messenger of the sister church by God's grace. Must be in our lives now with another opportunity we shall meet to continue. Let's bow our heads. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for opportunity to witness the beginning of another week. We are grateful to you for the week that just ended, your fatherly care, daily provisions of our needs, protection and care upon us. Thank you, O God, for personal consecration in reading of your word and prayers, family altars, and also, O God, the services of the week. We are very grateful to you for the blessings. Another week has started. Thank you for sparing our lives. You have brought us together. Thank you for feeding us again with your word. Lord, we know all that happened. One of the occasions where you came first in the flesh. Lord Jesus, there was a question that came. Why talking to them in parables? Because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But unto them that is not given, hearing will they hear, and they will never understand. Thank you for the things that you have taught us again this morning. It is truly you said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. In every area and aspect of our lives, may this truth continue to set us free. May it help us in our conduct, in our order, in everything that we do. Oh, gracious Lord, let it be our master. Knowing very well your prophecy, therein lays the rapture of faith. May the blessings be permanent that we have received this morning, while we look unto you for more of it for the rest of the services. Bless and replenish your servant for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Ọ̀rọ̀ yìí ló gbéyàwó Jésù. Alleluia. Ọ̀rọ̀ yìí ló fa wá yan fẹ́rẹ́. Ọ̀rọ̀ yìí ló sọ wá dà mí. Ọ̀rọ̀ yìí náà ni yóò. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is the Sunday school report. In the adult class today, we had 152 brothers and sisters. 152. Sorry. Sorry, it's 152 brothers and sisters. And the adolescent class, we have 28. The children's class, we have 15. And the total, 193. The 189 Bibles we have seen are counted. 24,740 was collected as the offering. Reverend Adewumi taught the adult class. Reverend Luafemi Adedigi taught the adolescents. Sister Akishan assisted by Sister Adewumi taught the children. The memory verse or verses for next week. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, with the emphasis on verse 14. The main emphasis will be on verse 14, 12 to 14. Some of them have not learned even verse 12 very well. That's why we are repeating it. And the Bible reading is Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. God bless you. That was